Amen.
Amen. Well, just a few brief notices. So I hope you'll have all received the New Look Family Matters, either through email. Whoops. There we go. Please don't throw them on the floor. But there's information about our services this month. And on the back, there is information about the next church members meeting. The church members meeting is going to be on the 27th of February, Thursday, the 27th of February at 7:30 p.m. in the evening. And that's primarily for the voting for the election of new church trustees. Our constitution states that we must have charity trustees. Charity law requires us to have charity trustees. And we were gathering to, we'll be gathering to elect and appoint new charity trustees. We've had a number of nominations so far, and the sign up sheet, the form is in the church foyer, and that's detailed on the back of the Family Matters. And although we already have had a number of nominations, we're not closing the nominations until just before the church service on the 9th of February. So that's next Sunday at 10:29 a.m. we'll be formally closing the nomination. So you've still got until 10:29 a.m. next Sunday to nominate somebody for a role as a church trustee. We have to give three full Sunday meetings before we can actually vote, and that gives us all an opportunity to pray for and think about and maybe speak to and ask questions of those people who are nominated. But I encourage us all to seek the Lord and to ask any questions you may have about appointing new trustees. My final notice is just to remind you, and this is also in the Family Matters, about the technical team training breakfast, which is this coming Saturday on the 8th. We are always looking for volunteers to join our church technical team. There's a training breakfast at 9 a.m. And then practical sessions on how to use the PA equipment and the computer with the words and other things. No experience required. And no one will be turned away. Ian's shaking his head. Is that no? Well, we are going to turn people away. We're definitely okay. So you're all more than welcome to come and join us for the training breakfast. Please sign up using Church Suite so that we know how many people to cater for the breakfast. So that email should have gone out. If you haven't had it, please speak to me or to Vicky, who is arranging the catering, aren't you? Arranging the catering for the training breakfast. Speak to her directly so that we know exactly how many people are going to be there. So not one single sausage or bacon roll will be wasted. Amen. All right, I'll hand over to Lorna now. Thank you, Lorna.
Morning, everyone. I was sort of thinking this morning and... well, all week, really. And I came across this prayer, and I'd like to share it with you before we start off with the worship this morning. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you, humble hearts, seeking your divine presence to envelope this gathering. As we assemble in your name, we earnestly desire the movement of your Spirit among us, preparing our hearts and minds for worship. We are comforted by the promise you made in Matthew 18:20. For where two or three people gather in my name, there am I with them. May your presence guide us, renew us, and draw us closer to you. Transform this space into a sacred sanctuary where we can truly encounter your holiness. Let your Spirit permeate every aspect of this service, filling it with grace and reverence. This song that we're about to sing is a beautiful reminder of the love and grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We should never take for granted the sacrifice Jesus made for us, and we should always strive to worship him with all our hearts. Please stand and let's sing Here I Am to Worship.
You sent Jesus down to save us. He sacrificed his love for ours, his life for ours, and we love him for that, Lord. Let's spread Jesus' love through the world. Let's go out and love one each other as God commanded us to do, Lord. Jesus, you're the center. That's what you're seeing next.
Bible speaks of the power of surrendering to God in many places. In Psalm 37, chapter 5, it says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will act." This verse reminds us that when we surrender our lives to God, he will take care of us and provide for us. Isaiah 40, 31, it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This verse reminds us that when we surrender to God, he will give us strength and courage to face any challenges that comes our ways. Let's sing, "I Surrender."
Well, I wonder if there's anybody who could help me with this next bit. We need at least three people. Three people. You can be any age, any size. And I need you to help me with my cups. Who can help me with my cups? Would you like to? Okay, would the two of you like to come forward? Who else would like to come forward? Anyone else like to come forward? You need at least one more person. One more point. Adrian, you offering to help? Is that you putting your hand up? You twitched at exactly the wrong moment. All right. Oh, come on. So there's your cup. And there's a cup for you. Okay. And there's a cup for you. You have to put some. You have to put something in it. I'm going to give you something to put in it. Now, first of all, I'd like you to. I'll give you a hand with this because I know you're a bit fragile at the moment. Okay. Can you put your cup on the ground? Okay. Put your cup on the ground. Okay. It's a lot easier for me because I'm shorter than you. Okay. I haven't got so far to go. Yeah. Whereas it's a lot much easier for these gentlemen. Now, I've got something in this envelope. Do you know what's in this envelope? Do you know? No, it's not a check.
Oh.
No. I'm going to give you an envelope. Okay. And I'm going to give you an envelope. Okay. And I'm going to give you an envelope.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you, can you open your envelope? Can you open your envelope? Don't empty it out, but what have you got? Just take out one of the things that's in your envelope and hold that up. Okay. Oops. Okay, what have you got there?
Feathers.
Feathers?
Feathers.
Okay, now. Okay, so you've got a feather, yeah?
Well, I have got a feather.
You should have 10. I've counted them.
Oh, right.
Okay, I've counted them all out, and I hope to count them all back in again afterwards. Okay, so have you got your feathers? Now, what I want to do, if you could just come a little bit more in the middle there, and we can just over there on the end, and I'll just move that. Mind your head getting up. Just move this more
out.
You
know what you're having for lunch now.
I've had the goose, and you're getting the feathers. Okay. Now, could you take all the feathers out of the cup? Because what I want you to do, don't put them in just yet. Don't put them in just yet. Okay, what I want you to do is stand above the cup, and then, okay, yeah, put those back in that envelope. Okay, so you put all those there. You've got 10 feathers. Now you hold that, well done. Okay, and you drop one there. And what I want you to do, see if you can do this, okay? I'd like you to see if you can drop your feathers, hold your hands out like that, at shoulder height. Don't sit down for this, Adrian, you know. You volunteered for this. Yeah. Okay. And what I want you to do is see how many you can get. How many of those 10, if you just drop them over the cup, how many do you think? Okay, shall we start placing bets? Now, who thinks Adrian is going to get most of the feathers in the cup? Who thinks this young gentleman? Could we have your name, please, sir? Did you hear all that? You hear that? All hear that? Anthony. How many feathers do you think you're going to get? You're going to get more than Adrian? Yeah. Definitely. Okay. And what about you, sir? Could you tell us your name, please?
Anthony.
You're Anthony as well. Fantastic. Okay. So that's brilliant. And do you think you're going to get all your feathers in your cup if you just drop them one at a time? Yeah, you're going to get it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, we won't be formally be setting up bets, but see, gentlemen, one at a time, hold your feather out, okay, and just drop it into the cup. 3, 2, 1, just one at a time, and go. Okay. No. Shoulder height. Can you do it from shoulder height?
I saw that.
Okay. Okay, just do it from no shoulder height. Okay, go on, Adrian. Oh, fantastic! Adrian's got one. Oh, fantastic! That's brilliant. Okay, okay, just one at a time. Can you drop that in? Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. No. Okay. How many? If they miss, pick them up and try again. Okay. Well done, Anthony. Just drop them. Drop them at your shoulder height. It's a new interpretation on shoulder height there. Oh, Adrian. Yeah, you're not doing shoulder height, Adrian. I might disqualify you. I might have to, you might have to pay a forfeit, and you know, you don't want to do that. Okay. Oh, no, not in this case, no. Sorry. Come on, okay. So how are we doing? Who's got? Have you got all your feathers? Keep going until they're all in. Okay. Remember shoulder height. You know what a shoulder is? It's this thing halfway up your leg. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well. You do it from the gut. Yeah. Do it from the gut. Okay. So how are you? Who's got? Well done, Adrian. Who's got all that? Come on. Who's got them all in? Have you got them all in? Anthony, have you done them all? Left, keep going. Okay. Adrian, I'll give you a hand. Come on, you need to get them all in. Come on, we're going to be here all day until you've got them all in. Yes, I am kidding you, but don't tell everybody.
And it's time now for Sunday offering. And in a moment, I'll invite you to
see? Well, I didn't say you can't move the cup, did I? I just said you had to drop the feather, and then you've actually got lots of Okay, well done. How have you done? Have you done them all? Have you done them all? Got that one in the cup. And how about you? Have you got them all in? You've got a couple left. You think you can just drop them? Fantastic. Well, didn't they all do well? Fantastic. Well done, well done. And that was completely unrehearsed. Who knew? Such a professional job. Well done, gentlemen. Let's give them all a good round of applause and say thank you. Okay? Okay. If you want the feathers, you can come and get them afterwards. Okay? So they're £1 each. Okay? We have give the cash to my wife. Thank you. All right. Oh, wow. Fantastic. Well, that didn't they do well? They did brilliantly. Well done, Anthony and Adrian. All the A's today. I'm Alistair, in case. So I picked up this card. What's that? Oh, right. It's my hearing. I do apologise. All right. I picked up this card the other day from Encounter Worship. And I thought it's got one of my favourite Bible verses on it, which is Philippians 4:13. Everybody know Philippians 4:13? Yeah? Who said yes? Could you say it from memory? That's great, but could you do the verse from memory?
From memory?
Yeah, could you do the verse from memory? Oh, did you? Oh, that was it. That's the verse. I thought you were just boasting that you can do everything. You know. So what's the verse again? That's absolutely correct. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I picked up this card and I've had it on my desk. And then yesterday I realized it doesn't actually say what I thought it said. It said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who strengthens me. Could you just double check? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. So somebody needs to go back to basics of reading the Bible, writing it down, checking the spelling and the grammar, because the grammar checker and the speller checker, you know, the word strength is correctly spelled, but the sentence doesn't actually make sense. It's not correct. So, I mean, I'm disappointed now. In fact, I don't want this anymore. You can put that back in the tin, Lorna, you know. You need to go and check every single one of all the others to make sure that we don't have any more mistakes. Okay, now then, who's old like me and remembers an old TV show called Call My Bluff? Anybody remember Call My Bluff? A really strong hand up there, Helen. You know, well done. Lorna, you remember Call My Bluff. Now, Call My Bluff was one of those really boring shows that was on BBC Two, okay? When back in the old days, when we only had like three TV channels. And it was a really boring show that my mum and dad would watch when I wanted to watch Knight Rider and The Fall Guy and The Dukes of Hazzard and you know, Not to the 9 o'clock News and all those other brilliant programs. Now, in this quiz show, Call My Bluff, there were two teams, and each team had a word, and they had to explain the meaning of that word, and the other team had to guess whether it was the true meaning or whether it was a bluff. They were bluffing. They just made up a meaning for that word. So we're not going to do that, but we are going to do something vaguely similar. And I wonder if I could have a volunteer just to stand and hold up these words for me. Well, I've had some volunteers from that side of the room. I'd like to ask some volunteers from this side of the room, if that's okay. Do we have a volunteer from this side of the room? Amy's hiding. Alex is wishing the floor would open up and swallow her. So, Keith, would you like to help me here? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'd never get my wife. I've never worked with, what do they say, children, animals, or your wife? Okay. So could you, oops, oh, hang on, I need the back page, because that's the bit I'm doing later. Yes. So, I've got some words here, and I want you to guess whether it's a real thing or it's a bluff. It's just a stupid invention, okay? It's just nonsense. Now, the hoverbrella, can you hold that up? The hoverbrella. The hoverbrella is a drone with an umbrella attached to it, which is programmed to float above your head and will follow you or hover above you everywhere you go and keep the rain off you. Okay. Is this a real thing?
No.
Or is it a mad nonsense?
Nonsense.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that. Next slide, please. Okay, what have we got? Motorized ice cream cone. Now, the motorized ice cream cone is for people who are incapable of turning their ice cream cone around to lick the other side. It's a small device with a motor that rotates a cup in which you can put your scoop or hold your cone so that you don't have to lick around the other side of your ice cream cone, but it will just constantly rotate so that you don't have to exercise. Who thinks this is a real thing and who thinks it's an absolute bluff? Okay, well, we'll come back to that one. Next slide, please. The banana slicer. For people who are incapable of slicing a banana using traditional methods, there is a device. It is even shaped like a banana. It looks like a cookie cutter, but it's got these lines going across it. So you can just press it down on your peeled banana, and then you will have your banana sliced into however many, 12, 14, 18, however many equally spaced banana slices for you. Who thinks it's a real thing, and who thinks it's just Alistair smoking the wrong kind of incense? Okay, well, we'll come back to that. We'll come to the truth. Next one, please. The solar feet. Okay, the solar feet. Ladies, have you ever been out on a hot, sunny day wearing some nice shoes and then come home and realize that your legs are tanned, but your feet are not? Well, or if you're wearing strappy sandals and you've taken them off after a day in the sun and realize that you've got a crisscross pattern over your feet. The solar feet is the answer to this problem you never knew you had. It looks like a foot spa, but when you put your feet inside, you get a tan on your feet that you can have your feet tanned equally and evenly all throughout. And it's not just for ladies, it's for anyone. So that, who thinks that is absolute nonsense and who thinks it's a real thing? Who thinks it's a real thing? Anyone thinks it's a real thing? Who thinks it's absolute nonsense? Okay. Next slide, please, sir. The belly button fluff remover. Gentlemen, as if your pinky finger was not sufficient for this task, there is a device you can buy that aids you in this task, or what do they call it? Male hygiene. Ladies, should this ever be an issue, there is a thing that you can buy to get the fluff or whatever else might be in your belly button, get it out from there. Who thinks this is a real thing? Anyone? That you can buy these? And who thinks it is bonkers and just a load of nonsense? Well, let's see. Next slide, please. The shower hood. Ladies or gentlemen, have you ever had an immaculate coiffure like Laura? Have you ever spent ages perfecting your hair like Matt? And then realize you need to go into the shower. Or maybe you've got the most beautiful makeup, and then you realize that you needed to take a shower before you head out. The shower hood fits over your head, has a transparent cover, so you can get totally under the shower without getting your face or your hair wet. So your immaculate coiffure, your beautiful makeup, as in my assistant
face,
here.
Face all.
Well, yeah, it comes down like this. So the front is transparent, because obviously you couldn't, you know, you need to see through.
No, I just wanted to make sure you put it picked up on the face bit.
The face bit is transparent, yeah. Okay, the back doesn't need to be. So, yeah, so you can't see out the back unless you've got eyes in the back of your head. Who thinks that this is a real thing, the shower hood? You want one? And who thinks it's another silly idea, just filling in time on a Sunday morning? Anyone thinks it's a silly, yeah. All right, and can we have the next one, please? I think this should be the last one. The walking sleeping bag. Have you been out camping in your comfy and cozy in your sleeping bag, and then you realize you need to get out of the tent and do something, and you fill in the blank, but you don't want to get out of your sleeping bag, and so you jump in your sleeping bag like a giant purple worm, or whatever color your sleeping bag is. Mine was purple, okay, and yellow on the inside. So you're jumping like this in your sleeping bag, and you wish suddenly that you could walk normally and still stay warm. And so they have invented the walking sleeping bag. So instead of being one long tube, it actually has legs like trousers. So you can walk in your sleeping bag. You can go to the car and you can, you know, get the whatever you need to make breakfast and still stay in your sleeping bag. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I come to the end of my sales pitch, who thinks this is a real thing? And who thinks this is just absolute nonsense? Okay, so can we have the first slide, please? The hoverbrella. True or false? Who thinks it's true? And who thinks it's false? It's a real thing.
No.
Next slide, please. The motorized ice cream cone. Who thinks it's a real thing? And who thinks it's bonkers? It's a real thing. The banana slicer. Who thinks it's real? And who thinks it's not real? Available in yellow plastic. It's a real thing. The solar feet, so that you can tan your tootsies. Who thinks it's bonkers and who thinks it's real? Real and bonkers. Real thing. It's a real thing. What's next? The belly button fluff remover. For sale on Etsy. It looks like a pipe cleaner and a couple of plastic beads. I don't know how it works. I haven't bought one and I don't intend to demonstrate next. Well, I don't know, maybe we should, I don't know. But yeah, that's a real thing. We'll just speed up now. The belly button fluff remover, or whatever you need to remove from your belly button. You know, coins, you know, remote for the television, you know. The shower hood. I know you want one. You can buy one because it's a real thing. Matt, get on eBay and look it up. And the walking sleeping bag. Who wants one of these? Who loves camping and needs to either run to the loo in the middle of the night or whatever, or get to the... Who wants one of these? Oh, well, there we go. It's a real thing. Thank you, Keith. Now, we might think that all these inventions are completely useless and there's no need for any of these things because we can slice a banana. You can slice a banana with a knife. You can slice a banana with a fork. You can slice a banana with a spoon. You can slice a banana with your teeth. You know, you don't need a banana slicer. You could carry an umbrella in your hand. And so many of these gadgets and inventions seem to make life not easier, but more complicated. Imagine if you're wandering out with a hover drone umbrella over your head, and then you need to go into, I don't know, you need to go into the charity store for some, you know, whatever it is that you need, or you need to go into the bank because you need to buy more batteries, or you need to recharge your drone. You know, you've got to, like, switch off the drone, park it, you've got to, you know, take it under your arm, go into the whatever. These things all sound brilliant, and like they're going to make life easier, but actually they're not. And I think there's an element of getting back to the basics, getting back to something which is simple, getting back to something which is straightforward, that doesn't overcomplicate things, but just deals with matters, just like, you know, using your finger to clean out your belly button, getting a knife and just slicing a banana, just not putting your head under the shower. You know, when you take a shower, if that's something, or, you know, whatever you do when you take a shower. A short while ago, we started asking ourselves, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ. And we saw that a couple of places in the Bible, in the New Testament, there is a contrast between having the mind of Christ and having some other kind of mind. We saw that Jesus spoke to Peter the apostle, Peter his disciple, and he said to Peter, you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And Jesus says we are to set our minds on the things of God, not on the things of man. Peter failed to do that. And Jesus says something really strong to Peter. He said, you're a hindrance to me. You're a hindrance to my work. You're a hindrance to the kingdom of God, because your mind's in the wrong place. And Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said, those who live according to the flesh, which is that nature, that human nature, which just draws us towards selfish things and away from the things of God. He said they set their minds on the things of the flesh, of this nature that's within us. But those who live according to the Spirit of God set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So if we are going to live according to the Spirit, we need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, not the things of our sinful nature. So we need to be aware that we're actually hostile to God when we follow our own inclinations, when we follow those desires, when we just give in to them. And the third thing that Paul wrote to the Colossians is that we need to see that Christ is seated above, next to God, and we are to set our mind on the things above, where Christ is, and not on the things on earth. And so if we realize that Christ is above, and we think of the things which are above, the things which are where God is, think of things which are all from God and not of the things which are from below, which are temporal, which are passing, you know, then our mind is in the right place. And the problem with many of us is that we make our Christian life a lot more complicated. So rather than just getting a handful of feathers and stuffing them into a cup, we make people stand, you know, at, what was it, shoulder height? Was it something about here, shoulder height, and drop them in, and we make it harder than it actually is. We make it more complicated than it needs to be. At its most basic, the Christian message is a message of love. It's the message of love for God. Well, actually, even more basic than that is knowing that God is love, and his great love for us transform us so that we can love God, love our neighbors, and reach out to them from that love. If success means to do one thing well and to consistently do it well, what are we called to do and to do well and to do consistently well? Many, many years ago, there was a series of Christian emperors in Rome, and they were followed by a man who was known as Julian the Apostate because he was not a Christian emperor. And he wanted to reinstate the worship of the Roman gods. And one of the things that he is quoted as saying is when he looked at the Christians and he looked at the churches and saw what they were doing, he said this. He said, look at how the Christians love one another. This is a man who is an enemy of the church and an enemy of God and an enemy of Christians. But even he said, look how these Christians love one another. Not only do they take care and look after and feed their own poor, the poor Christians, but ours as well. In other words, the non-believers, the people who didn't share the Christian faith. The love of those Christians was so obvious, even to the enemies of, even to their enemies, that their enemies were astounded at what they were doing, even in the face of resistance. Getting back to basics, I saw a documentary once about a very famous cello player. I don't remember the guy. And it was a documentary, and it was recording him before a concert, a big concert. It was, you know, Rachmaninoff's cello operetta in 15 parts or whatever. And before the actual performance, he just sat down in a quiet room and he just practiced scales. Just scales, you know, just up and down, different chords, different keys, just practicing, 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 just going back over the basics again and again and again. And I saw again another documentary about a golf professional. This golf professional wanted to improve, even though he won awards, he'd won money, he'd won prizes, but he wanted to be better and better at golf. So what did he do? He found a coach, he found a trainer, and they went back to the basics, how you stand, how you grip the golf bat, or whatever it is, the golf stick. The club. Okay, how you grip the golf club. How you swing the golf club. Back to the basics. If you remember the film Chariots of Fire, one of the runners hires a coach. He says to him, I can get you a few seconds off your time. What did he do? He practiced walking. He practiced running. He practiced skipping. He went back to the basics, and of course, it's the film. I won't give the ending away, but he won. He won the race. We need to get back to the basics. And the most basic, most foundational thing for us as God's people, knowing that God is love and God loves us, and we can love because God loves us, is love. The most foundational thing, it's there. It's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love. See how these Christians... Love is what God calls us to. It's the most foundational, most basic thing that God calls us to. It's in the greatest commandment to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's expressed in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, to speak of the faith that we have and the assurance that we have and the confidence that we have, to do it with gentleness and to do it with respect and to do it out of love. If success for us means to do one thing and one thing well and to do that one thing consistently well, what are we doing and how are we doing it? Amen. I'd like to invite our worship team to rejoin us. The Family Matters page, I've just written a brief word about bearing fruit. The people who hear the teaching of Jesus, who receive Jesus and receive his teaching, they understand it, they put it into practice, they grow in him, and they produce a good crop. Sometimes 100 times more, sometimes only 60 times more, sometimes 30 times more. But each time, hugely, wonderfully, abundantly more. Let us get back to basics. Let's not make it more complicated than it needs to be. God is love. Let us be his true disciples and his true children. Amen.
This song signifies the act of basing one's life.